Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
What's up, folks? It's a crazy edition of Hitting the High Notes Jazz Talk. It is I am here. The voice pounding your ear holes right now is at Who Trans Superman. That's H-U-U-T-R-N Superman. Follow the podcast account at Jazz High Notes. Jazz High Notes number 2. Who do you think you are? I am. We are back. We are back with the Dragon Squad. He is finally able on. He was metaphorically driving the bus last week, but he is here to fill our ear holes with stuff.
Wait! You're telling me all this time Logan has just been waiting in the background.
I've just been here listening.
He's just been chilling.
like your guys' mattress covers. I've just been laying in wait.
Logan, we are at the Dragon Squatch. At Dragon Squatch, not the Dragon Squatch. At Dragon Squatch.
It should
be the Dragon Squatch. 72 days away from Honey Dragon Madness. What's up, Logan?
Just hanging around.
Just hanging around. You've been a busy man, but we're glad, always glad to have you back. The guy who physically and metaphorically drives the bus last week, it is Go to the Sense 49. You've heard him. He yelling in there. What's up, Jared?
I was yelling at Logan. That's normal, just yelling
in general. And of course, he highlights the highlighters. He interns over the office. He is now the general manager of all the trampoline parks in Utah. What's up, Alma?
What's up,
Alma B 23? Yeah, what's up?
What's up,
guys? Welcome back. We're at full strength. Which is more than we can say about the Utah Jazz. We're recording this the day before the NBA gets back in full swing. We've had the All-Star break. We've had a week since the trade deadline. Logan, how do you feel about the state of the Jazz right now?
Nothing.
That's fair.
Nothingness. I don't know. I was thinking about this today. This is 2 years in a row of just like kind of the same, the same no man's land on repeat, right? So I'm curious to hear your guys' takes on the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. It's a good thing Alma didn't give up any money because he was convinced that Jordan Clarkson was gone. And
oh, I was
Kelly
hoping
may or may not stick around.
Yeah, I should have bet him $50 that Jordan Clarkson wouldn't be moved.
I was hoping. Yeah, like him. He came in and after the 3:01 p.m. deadline, he's like, hey, Jordan Clarkson. I'm like, I woke up accepting that the Jazz will never trade Jordan Clarkson. I hope for it every year for the past like 4 or 5 years.
Honestly, that's not what the intel is saying. They're saying that this summer he's more likely to get moved.
Intel also said he was going to be with the Knicks.
You pull the football away from me. You pull the football away from me once, Lucy. You got me.
Charlie Brown.
I'm not falling for that carrot again. The intel. Oh my God, he's been in trade discussions for the last 3 years, and every year I get my hopes up, and every year I miss that fucking football. So,
well, and that extension he got was all the extension was got because it made him more tradable, right? So
that's the rumor. That's the ironic thing, right? Is that like I was here on this podcast, and I was touting, hey, look, you gave him the extra money, so you can put him as part of a bigger deal if the Jazz were buyers. And then, ironically, like the week or week and a half before, I was like, now it seems like that contract was a detriment. Even though it would have gone down for whatever team got him to help with the salary cap, a lot of teams just didn't have the salaries to match. And so maybe that's what you're getting at, Jared, is that in the offseason, with a $15 million salary, he'll be, quote-unquote, more tradable. But, I cannot have nice things, so I don't expect that to happen. So
that's exactly what all the big names said that they heard, is that like the reason Clarkson wasn't moved was because his number was too high and people didn't want to give up players that were maybe considered better at that higher number that were also
and that will change this offseason. I can't have nice things, and that's on me, guys. I'm sorry. If you want a Jordan Clarkson trade, that's on me. They just won't let me have.
Instead, we got untradeable Ochai.
Ochai.
Shock of the
untouchable. Untouchable Ochai.
Which ensued a battle. I can't remember who it was. Someone was fighting on that day. It was someone was fighting with Dan Clayton back and forth. They were debating over who was more worth the first round pick they got. Was that like 60% Kelly, 40% Ochai? It was a hilarious battle to watch.
There was somebody today.
They were all just moving the goalposts.
Yeah, somebody today.
Honestly, I think there was a lot of people that were out on Ochai, like not people, like not necessarily Jazz Twitter, but like, I don't know. It seemed like he didn't have as much value as Jazz fans seem to think.
Who Tran of the Hitting the High Notes podcast has not been on the Ochai train for very long. So, trust me that there was a voice on this podcast that was very rarely pumping up Ochai Agbaji. So, but somebody today, and as Logan said that, yeah, I saw somebody tweet out something that, have we ever seen the official, like, who was what in that trade for the Raptors? Like, did they ever officially say Kelly Olynyk was for this and Ochai was for this? And the only reason I thought I could imagine them asking is that they either want to prove that A, Kelly Olynyk was the first round pick, or B, Ochai was the first round pick for whatever. I was like, guys, it doesn't really matter. All right. Like,
that's such a weird way to view.
They're saying that the Toronto, organization doesn't say that, do they? Or are you talking to, are you saying there's like a hypothetical?
They asked one of the, either they asked somebody who probably was in the know, and they're like, hey, dude, did that information ever come out? Like, was there an official transaction that said Ochai Agbaji traded for first round pick or whatever, right? And this is a week later. Well, we are a week later, and I'm like, you guys are still trying to figure out if Kelly is worth the first round pick versus Bojan, right? And so, you know, we joked about it last week, right? Like, that Bojan didn't get the first round pick, yada yada yada, and it does like, we joked about it. You know, Alma and I did.
Hey, so wait, what did the Knicks trade for Bojan? I'm curious now.
Second round picks, and some.
The New York Knicks refused to trade a first round pick. So
yeah,
it's never a first.
Yeah. Like, it was Bojan, Alec Burks, and a bunch of other stuff for second round picks. So, and we just made that joke because, you know, like, you know, that was the discourse that we had on this podcast. Like, oh, they didn't get a first round pick for Bojan, yada yada yada. But also, you know, a week later, I've dropped it.
they got half of a bad first round pick for.
Yeah. So, like, I mean,
for Kelly, right?
I mean, the Pistons gave away Quentin Grimes, which I guess people wanted, and then two future round first round picks for Alec and Bojan. So.
Oh, but that's right. Quentin Grimes was the prize on the Toronto.
Right. Yeah. So
forgot about that.
Untouchable
Quentin Grimes.
Yeah.
Turned out to be a lot like Ochai in the end, right?
So. Yeah.
So are you telling me the Jazz front office is basically the Knicks front office now? Because, like, untouchable Ochai and untouchable Quentin Grimes were traded.
I don't know what this is. I mean, I think a lot of Jazz fans came out with untouchable.
Well, last season with Ochai, they went ahead and said that he is untouchable.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
So that was specifically put out to the public that Ochai is untouchable.
Yeah. I saw something from the Knicks GMs talking about, oh, this guy's like blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. I mean, and ironically, the guys that were in the Donovan trade that we heard, right? Quentin Grimes, Obi Toppin.
And during that time, that's when they mentioned that Quentin Grimes was the untouchable piece
Obi Toppin, Emmanuel Quickley, and the other guy that went to Toronto.
Quickley turned out to be the only good one, right?
Right, Quickley. And, I guess what I'm getting at is like the three or four names that were attached to that Donovan Mitchell trade, what was held up that New York didn't make, all those guys are off the roster now. Jazz East, the Knicks, don't have Donovan Mitchell, basically. So, kind of, you know, it's kind of the way that worked. But yeah, Alma, Logan asked a question, and we'll skip to it now. What are your thoughts about the trade deadline for the Jazz?
I mean, my mindset is that they went ahead and openly stated that they were going to be making moves so then they can go ahead and build draft capital and have financial flexibility. And given the news that we heard today about Otto Porter Jr., that he's not going to be with the team and he's going to be at home to evaluate any potential opportunities that this season may present to him, or just stay at home and be on the Jazz roster. I'm not the biggest fan, but
that's weird.
Yep.
Like, that's the weirdest, like, what?
And what makes it even better too, if you do want to read it, Tony Jones,
Athletic.
Give us money. It. but what makes it even crazier is that there's even reports stating that Golden State is trying to work out a deal to go ahead and bring Otto Porter Jr. back.
Deal. Yeah. Yeah. So
you mean a backdoor deal?
Yeah, pretty much like, hey, we'll give you some money if you go ahead and cut him, and we'll just sign him for veteran minimum or whatever it would be at that point.
I don't think that that's legal for them to offer something like that.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. It's not legal, so I'm sure there's no backdoor door going on.
But the fact that they're saying, like, oh, yeah, you can go ahead and stay home. You figure out what you want to go ahead and do. Right. If you want to stay with us, great. If you don't, cool.
Yeah.
Just relax. Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Yeah. Backdoor
but
number nine.
So so if you go ahead and look at that.
Going backdoor, you heard it here first.
So if you go ahead and look at everything that has now stuck with the Jazz to this point, it's now they've lost Fontecchio. Mm-hmm. Olynyk and Agbaji.
Well, thank you.
Which, still very sad about that one. But in return, you get a late first round pick, an early second round pick, and then Kira Lewis Jr., which hasn't really produced much.
A former first round pick?
Yep, former first round pick, a former guard from Alabama was very explosive.
More guards for the Jazz.
Essentially, Colin Sexton 2.0 based off of how he played in college. Like,
but did Kira Lewis beat a team 3-on-5 in college? No. So
no, but he has some crazy ass posters in Alabama though.
Jared, we didn't get to hear your thoughts on the trade deadline. So, I'm gonna just lay it out for you. Those trades there. How do you feel about the Jazz after the trade deadline?
Meh. Like, yeah, it was kind of. I mean, first round pick is a first round pick, so I'm not gonna.
Are you mad because like you were hoping the Jazz were, because this was not a buying move. These were not buying moves for the Jazz. These were selling moves. So.
No, I mean, I'm mad because like. I don't know. I just wish I saw the vision of what they were trying to do, because it seems very helter-skelter. Like they're trying to. It feels like they're trying to do that Warriors thing where they do two timelines. We're going to be good now, but we're also going to be crap.
Interesting that. Like, I mean, I don't see it that way at all. Like, and maybe because this is the mindset I had since near the beginning of the year, that I thought the Jazz were trying to collect assets pretty much all year. And they did that. They did that at the trade deadline. They went and got some more draft picks, whether they're good, bad, or whatever, they're assets. They sold on guys that they probably weren't bringing back next year. And I'm a fan of that. Look, if you say you're not going to – you don't think you're going to pay
– Well, the Fontecchio move I thought was great. And I just – the problem is I guess I'm trying to figure out – roster wise what they're I guess we know that they're in desperate, there's going to be a desperate search for a wing of any kind in the draft or whatever, like that's exactly because they basically have no wings on the roster, and
right,
that's like,
and I don't know
that
if that's
was exactly the problem that we started with, so
I don't know
it's
if that's
like
an immediate need, I guess, because I'll finish my point here. The Jazz went and got, They got rid of Fontecchio, not got rid of, but they probably weren't gonna bring Fontecchio back. They probably weren't gonna bring Olynyk back. They did not believe in Ochai as some Jazz fans did, and they got rid of things that they probably didn't need and got something of value for them. So I think that's impressive, and it hurt them this year. But I think the last couple months I've kind of been thinking I don't think it really matters, the wins and losses for the Jazz this year, which kind of sucks. Like I was hoping the Jazz would make the play in. But it just didn't seem like – I don't think they're on two tracks. I think if they could have made the play in this year, nice, but that's not their main goal.
You're probably right. I don't think that was ever their main goal.
And
but
so,
what is their main goal? Is their next 15 years in pick range between 10 and 17? Because that's what it feels like they're doing. So that's the part that I don't think is – I agree with you that they took advantage and got something in return for guys that probably weren't coming back, but – it's just a weird. It just feels like a weird direction. Like I'm not.
And that's a hard
2 years in a row.
We talked about
in a row now of just kind of like stumbling around. Like,
right.
I don't think they're making a plan because it looks like the Lakers and the
Warriors
have figured out enough.
Unfortunately, for me as a fan, I thought this team was at 16-14. Like the last 30 games, I was like, I think they go 16-14 before the trade deadline. After the trade deadline, I'm like, well, yeah, you lose Fontecchio, you lose Olynyk, You lose Agbaji.
I think they're going like, 10 and 20, man.
Well, 20. Yeah, I thought it was a 14-16 team, and now I'm like, yeah, they're probably not going to win that many, you know, near that many games. I mean, they've already lost four, right? Since the trade deadline. And yeah, so like, look, you know, they've gone a little bit. Like, it doesn't feel like they should have regressed this much at losing Olynyk, losing Fontecchio, losing Agbaji, but maybe the sum of the parts were more. I guess the hard part was that it opened up THT minutes, which I think we spent the whole year figuring out is not a good thing to have. The plan for the Jazz. I mean, look. You know, we're talking about all these other ways of building a team. And, you know, I think we've talked about it for the last couple of years on this podcast. Like, did we think, making the playoffs and being second round exits multiple years in a row was a good way to build a championship team? And, you know, I don't think so. I think there's a little more nuance to it. But generally, if your team is not good enough to get past the second round year in and year out, you got to make changes. And unfortunately, the NBA just doesn't reward teams for being, you know, pretty good teams. The NBA tries to reward teams by being really bad and then getting really good. And that includes just trying to draft your next, you know, top five guy in the NBA. And that's just kind of how it is. So, Logan.
Wasn't there been a number of reports that came out of the Jazz looking to buy at the deadline, though?
It continues
to feel to me like they're just kind of making things up as they go. Yeah. I guess sometimes. I'm starting to feel more and more like that. Like I don't know what the actual plan is.
And I think that's there's a certain flexibility.
Less and less of give a shit.
Yeah, there's a flexibility to it because there's a brand new Jazz Call podcast out there. It has a name that I can't remember right now.
Jackpotting around.
Just thank you, Jackpotting around.
Which is the next. These guys.
So apparently it's the as Alma pointed out to me, it's the guy who does the art but sports account. They do the sports still picture, and he finds like a piece of art that looks just like it or whatever, right? Or whatever. So pretty impressive Twitter account. They've gotten into the Twitter world, the podcasting world. I think this is episode 6, and they had Tony Jones on today, and the snippet that they posted out was like Tony Jones said the Jazz were looking for somebody that was, you know, they were looking to buy, but it was not Dejounte Murray. Alma has a theory that it was
Trae Young.
So say it was Trae Young. So the Jazz were looking to try to get Trae Young from the Hawks. Like, he's available, and that it couldn't come out. And so if that deal had gotten done, maybe the Jazz have, you know, pivot and do something else.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Because Tony Jones went ahead and openly said that he cannot say the name of this person. Like,
right.
He put a large emphasis on that. And he even said that for this player, they got about 65% of the way through the deal, where Murray, it was more of like, hey, what do you want for him? Oh, I don't want to do that. On to the next person.
Yeah.
And look,
that's why, like, I don't mind what the Jazz did. I thought that, you know, like 2 or 3 weeks before the trade, you know, just two or three, maybe a month ago, you know, I was on here, I was asking Jared, buyers, or what should the Jazz, because the Jazz were hot, they were going, I was like, and I would not have minded, like last year, I minded very deeply what the Jazz were doing. I thought them winning those games were really bad for the franchise. This year, I really think they could have made the play-in. They could still make the play-in. I don't think it matters that much. I don't think conveying the pick is that, you know, there's some people who are so against, not conveying the pick this year to the Thunder. And I just don't think that it's a franchise altering move. I can see there's some problems, but I also don't think it's that big a deal. Like,
I think it makes some things more challenging, but it's not like an impossible, terrible situation.
Missing out on Wemby, I think, is a big deal. Missing out on some of these top five guys, kind of a big deal. You know, drafting one of these guys in the next draft, it's not that big a deal. Not as big a deal, I think.
Gotta go for Matas Buzilius. Yeah.
So I think the Jazz. Going up to the trade deadline could have gone either way. I think they were very bi-curious at the trade deadline, if they should buy guys or not. bi-curious. And if they, or but they ended up saying that, you know, that they have another path too. They can sell, get some assets back. And I guess that hurt morale in the locker room. But you know, the game before the All-Star break, they looked fine. So, I mean, they had a very close game against the Warriors. So I guess I'm not too bothered by it. Logan.
So I guess that's what I'm asking. Last year you hated what they did.
Yeah.
They've essentially repeated the same exact fucking pattern this year, but you're good with it because the draft picks aren't as good. So overall, where does that net you out? You think they're on? I guess I'm looking at the whole picture. This season wouldn't be as bad if last year wasn't exactly the same. So that's what I'm saying. I don't know.
I guess for me, after they screwed up so badly last year, I think that, okay, so like, okay, cool. So now you're so far behind anyway that trying to rebuild is not going to be this year, next year, the year, you know, like they've set themselves back years now. So like now they're like, okay, cool. Now you have to kind of wade through until you get a number one. That's the thing. You have to get a top five player. I know that they're still
trying. I'm not sure if you're saying you feel good about it.
I feel fine about it because after they screwed last year, they I was like, you guys are so far behind now. Like they had a chance last year, I think, to go get somebody who's a real difference maker. I'm not talking about the Cam Whitmores. I'm not talking about the GG Jacks. I'm talking about like some of these top five guys that could be a real star.
Like Azur, Amen, those kind of guys.
You know, Scoot, Brandon. Like those guys look like they could be franchise altering players. Now they haven't had such good rookie years. Maybe they're not. But not giving themselves a chance to do it last year, I'm like, okay, well, this is what's going to happen. You're going to get stuck with Taylor Hendricks. Right. You're going to get Keontae Georges, guys that could be good. But I don't know if we'll ever get to the ceiling of Victor Wembanyama, and that's not bad. It's a start somewhere, but by not going to, you know, go find a franchise piece, I think that's the first step they have to do anyway. They have to go find a franchise piece. I don't think they have it. You know, Lowry's gonna be 27. Keontae is not there for me. So
you're saying when you say a franchise piece, what does that mean to you?
Top five,
number one guy,
top five guy in the league.
Okay,
or top ten, maybe top ten, like Giannis, Jokic, LeBron, Steph. Who else are the top 10 guys in the league? Joel Embiid, guys that are like franchise altering.
Leave off
somewhere the Jazz haven't been since 1997.
Yeah, and so, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's kind of where I guess I'm falling differently, and it's like I just don't. I mean, I'm not gonna sit here and pretend like I'm gonna stick around and care about them when they suck. I mean, I've got like zero memories of the Hayward years, right? So
yeah.
I guess it's just as a newer podcast, and I was kind of looking at the culmination of it all. It's too, and you're not wrong in what you're saying. They definitely fucked up last year, probably by not tanking. But to basically be sitting in the same spot 2 years in a row. I just disagree with you. I don't feel better, but I think another year in NBA purgatory is not where you want to be.
I've accepted that we're gonna get 3, 4, 5 more years of this.
That's the Danny Ainge plan.
Yeah, it just doesn't matter if you don't get a guy that's top 5 to 10.
Honestly, you know what's funny about you just saying that? Think about the Celtics pre that trade, and the Jazz are basically that team. They're Paul Pierce and a bunch of dudes.
Yeah, I mean, go before that. That's what their plan was with Antoine Walker. They went ahead and were bad for 3-4 years after they traded Antoine Walker, and then next thing you know, they went ahead and got Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen, Rajon Rondo to go along with Paul Pierce, and they went to the finals.
Yeah, so that's the hard part that, like, you know, it's so hard to get, obviously, you know, to get a top 5 to 10 player in the league. There's 10 of them. So, and the guys that are in there, not many of them fall off. Like, LeBron's been a top 10 player for his whole career. Giannis, essentially, maybe his first 2 years, but then after that.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. Well, Giannis was really raw. Like
that's what I'm saying. Like it took him a couple of years, but you know, Kevin Durant has been a top 10 player for a while. Even as an advanced age, maybe he's not top 10, but he's close. He's at the cusp.
Yeah, but he was drafted like third overall behind.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, some of these guys, you know, like Kevin, yeah, as Alma points up, two, he was second overall behind Odin, right?
Yeah, the GOAT.
The GOAT. So, you know, you have to go get somebody in the top 10. Like, you know, I've asked you plenty of times, Keontae, is Keontae the next guy? And you're almost there. Like, you know, and he just had a 39.
I think he's the point guard of the future, personally. That's my opinion.
Is point guard of the future a top 10 guy in the NBA is my question.
No, I don't think he's a top 10 guy.
Okay, so that's cool that Keontae could be the point guard of the future, but if he's not a top 10 guy, I don't think it matters. You have to have a top 10 guy. You have to have a top 10 guy first before you can do anything else. So
what you're saying is the Jazz should have traded Markkanen, is what you're saying.
No, I think now we're getting too far. I think the Jazz re-signing Markkanen. Wait,
how is that too far? Why do you keep Lowry if you don't have a top 10 guy?
Because I think
your first move is to go get that franchise piece.
And they're not going to get it by trading Lowry. So,
you know, you'll be worse so that you'll be able to.
Right. That's what hurt the Jazz. That's what hurt the Jazz. I think you can only tank for so long. They didn't, and we have copious amounts of evidence that the Jazz are not going to tank. They didn't tank. If they don't tank for Wemby, they're not going to tank for Cooper Flagg. They're not going to tank for whoever else anyway. So, and why I say it's too far is that I think this is a conversation to have in the offseason, because I think Lowry, there's a good chance of Jazz re-signing Lowry to an extension. So that's a trade that could happen later on. I just didn't think it'd happen right now. So,
what does Keontae George have to do with anything? So you're saying that they should get rid of Keontae George? I don't understand.
I think he's fine.
The discourse around him.
Oh, I think he's fine. I just don't think. I'm willing to give him 1, 2, 3 more years to prove me wrong. But I hope the front office at some point, you know, knows when they need to either build around Keontae. Or find someone to go with Keontae, or if you're in the front office, you have to make the decisions sooner than later. You have to decide if you should trade SGA for Paul George. You have to decide if it's worth just waiting on Hashim to reach his potential. You have to wait.
Honestly, that SGA for Paul George move is looking horrible. So.
Yeah, but that's the thing, is that like they probably didn't want to trade SGA, but they had to make a decision. Do we feel good about Paul George versus SGA, right? Like, is that going to come back to haunt me? You have to make that decision in his first year. So, and that's what I hope. That's what I hope the front office does. Like, if the front office believes that Keontae George can become, you know, the guy that leads the franchise, then go ahead, build around him, figure out how to get, you know, other pieces around him. If it's Taylor Hendricks, or whoever, find people that fit his right time. You know, the Cavs decided that they had a young core of Garland, Jared Allen, Evan Mobley, and said, we need to go get Donovan Mitchell. You got to make those decisions early in these guys' careers. So,
they gathered the pieces without a top 10 guy.
The Cavs, yeah. I mean, if you ask the Cavs, the Cavs thought that Darius Garland was a top 10 guy. I listened to a couple of Cavs podcasts to kind of get ready for a Donovan Mitchell podcast. And
I mean, that's the fans, though, but is that the front office?
And it makes me wonder. I wonder if they thought it or not, if they thought that Darius Garland was, you know, going to be the leader of the team and not Donovan Mitchell. So it's interesting. I'm not connected enough to Cleveland, obviously, to know that answer. But, I wonder if they made that move thinking that Darius Garland was their guy, and that's why they have to go get Donovan Mitchell at the time. So, you know, we're gonna go back in time here, kind of talk about moves that, you know. So, you know, we talked about this trade deadline. If we thought the Jazz should or shouldn't make a move, I want to go back and talk about some things that the Jazz have done in the past 2-3 years, and see if we agree with them now and how we felt about them at that point. So, first up, you know, Jared, we already did this podcast episode one time, talked about the Rudy Gobert trade, you know, if we liked it or not. At the time, I think the three of us were like, yeah, we like that trade. Alma, at the time, do you remember how you felt about trading? You know, that was the first domino, right? Rudy Gobert to the Wolves, draft picks, Walker Kessler, all those guys.
So I remember with Gobert, I had already personally accepted that he had to go, even though I'm a big defense guy, so I hated seeing him go, but I was like, okay, let's go ahead and see what potential comes out of this. I was a little more hopeful in Vanderbilt than what actually happened with him. Beasley, I was kind of meh. Leandro Bolmaro, I was didn't really know anything about
him. I've already forgotten who that was, so...
And then even with Walker Kessler, I was like, okay, I'm familiar from when he committed to University of North Carolina and then when he transferred to Auburn. I was familiar with how he played. So I was like, okay, let's see if that translates to the NBA. So with that trade, I was like, okay, let's see how this one goes. Mm-hmm. Donovan, on the other hand, I remember sitting at work and my phone just blowing up. And I was like, oh, no, it happened. They got rid of both of them. But then with that trade, I was like, okay, Colin Sexton, he has that oomph to him.
Right.
Markkanen, I was like, I guess you have to add him in there. And then...
my exact words was, Lowry is nice, but he won't be an all-star.
And then when I went ahead and saw that Abaji was a part of it, I was like, okay, man just came off of a national championship, but I want to see if his talent can translate to the NBA. And then the amount of draft picks that came along with it. So with both of those trades, I was like, okay.
Okay.
There's a lot of draft capital in here. We're probably in for a long ride.
Right.
But they got a lot of pieces and essentially kind of stuck their gun to their guns. Like they were like, we are getting big packages for both of these guys.
We are a season and a half later, right?
Yeah, give or take.
Season and a half later, essentially. Would you still make those moves?
Yeah. I think I still would, because again, based off of the rumors of how the locker room was going, could you imagine if those two guys were?
You can't bring up the rumors now. Well, I mean, today of all days, Alma.
But I'm saying, like, now with the rumors that have gone out, like of how that locker room was.
They weren't rumors, man. Like I listened to the beat writers break down how shit that locker room was.
Unsolvable. Logan, hold on a second though. Logan, so Logan, first of all, you know, I don't want to misrepresent you. You were pretty happy, not pretty happy, but you were the two trades. You didn't hate the two trades that we got for the Jazz got for Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell, correct?
Yeah, I was a big fan of
them
at the time.
Yeah, I mean, we did a whole episode. You and I did a whole episode breaking it down. Like, wow, this is actually pretty good for the Jazz. All right, so now we're a year and a half later. You've kind of seen the careers of both those guys and how the Jazz have gone. How do you feel today about those trades? Would you still do them? Would you want to keep it together? I've seen some of your comments on Twitter, so I want to hear your thoughts on this.
On February 21st, 2024, I would not make those trades.
Okay.
That's subject to change, but I would not make those trades. I would go back to my original initial thought that Mark and I shared many, many moons ago, was I think we should have let Quinn Snyder quit like he quit and at least given it one more year to see what was doable there. So no, and that's not to say that there definitely wasn't a shit ton of friction, and it wasn't. To Jared's point, that was some of the most unenjoyable basketball I've ever seen in my entire life. Watch that team. What you could see, literally, you could see the locker room turmoil, like, you know, leaking out onto the court. Right. So
they went from the first team.
I know that's biased, and I know that's me being emotional. But I'm not really interested in sports rebuilds. You know that about me. And for better or for worse, I don't really, that's not what I tune into sports is to watch, to watch rebuilds. And if we're in year two of the exact same story, it doesn't have my interest. Yep. So yes, I mean, it's been the perfect storm. And I mean, there, obviously, you know, Jazz fans truly will overreact to an Instagram post. But my rebuttal to that is also Donovan didn't have to say anything, and he did say something. And I think there's been a decent amount of traction back and forth to show that I don't think those guys necessarily hate each other. And we all know I'm not the biggest Rudy Gobert fan, so it's taking a lot for me to swallow this and say I would make those trades. But I don't know. I know the other pushback can be, well, they're asset poor, this, that. You know, at the end of the day, the NBA, and if Danny Ainge is the genius he is, that's what he gets paid to do, is figure shit out, you know? So
A year and a half later, Jared, you know, the Rudy and Donovan trades. Where do you sit on those? Like, is that?
I'll make those in a heartbeat, but I also make sure I make a deal to get with Mike Conley out of here. Like, I don't try to squeeze every last drop of value for trying to get rid of Mike Conley. I dump Mike Conley.
That's true. They didn't end up getting really anything. That's another great trade. So much of breakdown. What percentage of person turned out to be that extremely overrated Lakers evaporating to nothing.
Okay.
Like, so 17 players, right? We sent out for that one first round pick. So,
so Jared, let's go back to just Rudy and you know, these are independent events. So let's call Rudy and Donovan one event. So you want to go back and talk about the Mike Conley trade?
I would not have hung on to him. Like, I think that was the biggest problem with what the Jazz did last year.
Okay.
They held hang on to Mike Conley one too damn much, so they had no shot at Wembanyama.
Okay, so that's fair. So this is sort of a addition by subtraction type stuff. In the other case, subtraction helps the Jazz get worse. I see your point. Obviously, it sucked. In retrospect, it sucked because I get the asset was the best asset at the trade deadline. But the opportunity cost was, you know, the Jazz were just too good. It made Lowry better. There's a chance that.
I think Lowry could have been fine without Mike Conley, though. That's the point.
That was going to be my follow-up question. Right. Does Lowry take that step without Mike Conley? I mean, I have my thoughts.
Okay, so I
think he does personally. His play helped.
Well, to be
but
fair,
he would have been an all-star. There's no way.
Well, the thing is, the trade took place on February 9th of 2023.
Right.
Which meant that Lowry Markkanen was already listed as an all-star with Mike Conley on the team.
Yes.
And then you went ahead and saw numbers drop once Mike Conley left because there was a lacking they were lacking their ball movement.
Yes.
And then he essentially was injured for the rest of the season.
So Jared said it before we cut him off real quick. But he said Lowry probably was not an all-star. Okay, so he puts up good numbers, but he's not all-star level. The Jazz look worse. He's nowhere near the all-star conversation. He would not be in the all-star conversation this year. What if he was just so instead of being in the Domantas
tier?
DeMontis tier. What if he's in the Bojan Bogdanovic tier?
What does that mean?
Remember Bojan in Indiana?
But if he's in that tier, what does that mean for us now? What are you trying to say?
The Jazz are worse, but then you're worse, and you also don't have, you know, you have Bojan Bogdanovic, a nice player, but not a player that Indiana was like begging to bring back. He's an okay player. You're probably gonna have to overpay him. Maybe he's Tobias Harris when he made that max contract with the Magic.
Yeah, but I think I still that doesn't mean to me that Lowry never makes that leap. I think he's shown that he's a little bit guard dependent.
Let's say
I don't think that really changes his tier. It changes the outside perception of what his tier is. I don't think that changes his ceiling as a player.
If all that happens, let's say Lowry doesn't make that that leap. Because Mike Conley, I mean, there's a lot of evidence that Mike Conley really helped Lowry with that leap. The whole Jazz team just looked way better when Mike Conley was on the team. Surprising.
That's because he was an experienced point guard who'd been in the league for like 12 years. Mm-hmm. Of course, the team looked better.
Right.
You need a lead guard to look good.
That's the thing. The Jazz, lose Mike Conley earlier. All these stuff doesn't happen for the whole Jazz team in general. So yeah, their record's worse, which is a step in the right direction for.
What you're saying is keeping Mike Conley is what Jazz culture is. That's Jazz culture because they had to establish
I'm just saying
culture
that, like,
and then ship him.
I'm just saying if we do that, we're probably taking away Lowry's progression. So
or at least the jump start to his progression.
And you know at 20 because we've seen Lowry not make that leap in other places.
That's fair.
So I'm just saying.
I mean, what's his guard play when he was in Chicago and when he was in Cleveland?
I get your point, and I think that's fine. But I think I'm trying to think of the consequences now.
I think the real problem in Cleveland was that there was a logjam at his position, and like they didn't think he was better than the people he was playing behind.
So
which you know.
But we haven't seen, and like I think there's a chance that it's unlikely that leap happens. I think that's a consequence which is fair. But like the Jazz do get closer to that goal. Like maybe they are a top five pick at that point. Maybe their record's so bad that they are a top five pick. I don't mind Lowry not being an all-star, if that's the case, I guess. I like Lowry, but I mean, it just feels like the Jazz are so far away from, quote unquote, taking advantage of Lowry in his prime. Is this going to be hard for them to buy another player? I don't know who I could think of that the Jazz could pair with Lowry right now that puts them.
I think the problem is the other player hasn't become available yet. You need a disgruntled person.
I think that's also an unlikely. I know that's what a lot of Jazz fans are waiting for.
No, I know, but that's Danny Ainge's MO. Like, that's apparently how he team builds his championship teams. He finds somebody who's disgruntled, gets them to where there's no trade clause, gets them traded to the Jazz.
I think that's the hope. I think that's a way to build. And if you keep Lowry around, that's great. Then also, Keontae's your third best player, which I don't mind that as much. Logan, are there any other? We talked about the Mike Conley trade already. I guess I didn't hear your opinions, Logan. You make that move or not with Mike Conley? Like, is there anything you would change about that move?
Yeah, I don't really know because you guys kind of got me to go on. I'm on a journey right now to make that decision. I had a thought before we started. And you guys made a lot of good points, so I don't know what my answer is yet because I think you're right. I mean, obviously Lowry this year without Mike Conley has been fine, but what role did Conley play on? I guess getting that kickstart. So,
Alma, is there anything from the past two trade deadlines that the Jazz have done that you'd say, you know what, I wish they would have done this differently?
The past two trade deadlines?
Yeah, so you know, obviously this one and the last one where they traded Mike, Nah, and all those guys.
I mean, I think, like, me personally, my feelings, I wish Mike Conley would have stayed, but that's not related to on-court things. Again, not related to on-court
things. Not on-court stuff, okay.
But, I mean, if you go ahead and look at everything that came along with it, it's more of just, like, rentals that all came along with it. Because, I mean, you can look at Damian Jones. People were very excited about Damian Jones. He took his player option, and now he's in Cleveland.
Not playing.
You can go ahead and...
Damian Jones, I forgot about the name.
And, I mean, shoot, you could even look at...
Who was excited about Damian Jones?
People were very upset when Damian Jones was not on the Jazz this year.
Yeah, there were people who were upset, especially like with how he showed up as a solid backup center for like 3 or 4 games. There were people that were genuinely upset. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who are these people?
Jazz Twitter, man.
Yeah, Jazz Twitter. You know, it's a crazy place.
I mean, I guess I don't do Jazz Twitter like I used to do Jazz Twitter, I guess, because I don't follow people who think Damian Jones was a good player, apparently.
And then, I mean, another rental, Juan Toscano-Anderson. I can just leave it there. and then, I mean, I think, like, the biggest bonus that we can look at, just all trades from the last two trade deadlines and then whatever happened in between, you can go ahead and take a look and just say, Rudy Gay's not here. Like, that's the biggest thing you can look at. And then I'm sure most people probably already forgot about Vernon Carey Jr.
Yeah, yes.
But, I mean, outside of that...
Yeah, I was about to say who, so yeah, I definitely
forgot. Yeah, Vernon Carey Jr. was literally signed on the second-to-last day of the regular season last year, and he made it until the final day of cuts to make this regular season roster.
And I get what you're saying, Logan, about him. Look, if the Jazz had kept Rudy and Donovan, let's pretend that everything's not as good or as bad as we think it is. Maybe the locker room was just fine. Like, it's like they're not best friends, but they're getting along enough. Like, they got along enough for multiple years, you know, to be the number one team in the NBA, right? I get it. I get wanting to keep them. The Jazz probably have to do what the Wolves are doing now. They probably would have to sign Mike Conley to an extension. They probably have to keep Barnes because, like, you're just not going to replace those guys in the offseason. You lose those guys, the Jazz are still over the salary cap. They're not going to sign anybody. You know, you lose Bojan, you're not going to get somebody in his price range. You have to get somebody in a cheaper price range.
And, like, you have to consider, too, like, Bojan getting traded was getting Kelly Olynyk.
Right. So I think let's go back to Logan saying, like, we're going to keep Donovan, keep Rudy. And you know, I think we are forgetting how miserable that last year with those guys were.
That's why I was totally pro both those trades.
Maybe like, it was a Quinn. So let's say, you know, that it's Will Hardy with them, with that team. You think you feel a lot better about that team with Will Hardy, and it's the same. It's basically the same team. You're not adding anybody.
No, I don't feel better about that team with Will Hardy. I think Donovan would have tried to do what Donovan did when there was no real GM.
How about you? I mean, this is Logan's scenario right here. Logan wanted to keep these guys. Logan, Will Hardy, you know, or just a change in the coaching office. But you still get, you know, you still have those four main guys. Those are your four main dudes. Mike Conley, maybe the Royce O'Neal trade you can still make. But, you know, it's still Bojan Bogdanovic. It's still Donovan. It's still Mike Conley. It's still Rudy Gobert. 2 years later, the Jazz are probably still a playoff team. How do you feel? How do you think you'd feel about this team compared to now, Logan?
Better.
We're definitely
not going to see eye to eye on it. It just is what it is. While you're saying that today, you're also now erasing the last 2 years of them being together and playing. So that's the interesting part about the scenario is you don't make the trade, you got 2 years. I don't know. I'd be curious to see what it was. And when it comes to the GM thing, I know it's not great for this bottle because I don't play that. I'm not really good at that game of who is and who isn't available, but they get paid to figure these things out, right? Like I understand the core is the core, but I don't know what kind of there was plenty of moves on the margins that fucked us already. We can talk about Jaden McDaniels, we talk about Doc, we can talk about all these different moves that screwed us over. We talked Bojan centered trade. We've had multiple people on this podcast talking about some of the trades they could have made in previous years, and they just chose not to do them. So I don't know that saying I would go back binds me to the same exact group for 3 or 4 straight years, right? So Mitchell and Gobert seem to be doing really well. Yeah.
We seem
to have no direction.
Right. That's my fear is that that Jazz team. I guess my fear is that we bring that back and maybe Will Hardy figures out a way to. That's the hard part for me. Let's assume it's Will Hardy. And I know that a lot of
Doc Rivers
have already crowned him as the next best, but we did the same thing with Quinn Snyder. I don't know if I've seen enough proof that tells me that Will Hardy is just as able to unlock special things, I guess.
I think he's a good coach. I don't know if he's special or magical. I think he's a good coach.
There's a lot of good coaches.
That opens to another box. I don't think Will Hardy is hired if that's the case. I think Will Hardy was hired with
Will Hardy was already hired when Gobert was traded, but Donovan was still on the roster. Yeah. It's even out there for public knowledge saying that Donovan and Will Hardy were already game planning.
So,
That's actually that is true.
So, I guess my fear is that the Jazz are kind of stuck with that team because, the Wolves, sure they gave Mike Conley a discount in the next couple of years, right? Or that there was a discounted contract.
2 year, $25 million.
That's still the team.
Well,
that
he's
stuck
80
with.
Million years old. What do you mean discount?
That's what I'm saying. He's old, but, there's a chance that he could have made more money. But he got a very favorable contract.
How do you know what his market value is?
I don't know,
he would have made more money.
But I mean, $12 million seems that's mid-level exception money. So I think that's pretty good. So, but the Jazz would have that. We're probably thinking the Jazz are gonna, 2 years from now, or if we don't make that trade, I think the Jazz are probably stuck with the same guys. Maybe they do make some bench moves that work out. Maybe having a new coach in there works out best for them. Maybe they figure out how to play defense with Rudy Gobert. I guess my fear is that I think now with what the Jazz have and having assets and stuff, there's more freedom to do things. And while having Rudy and Donovan probably makes this team better, and I guess for me, it's hard to see them still be a championship contender, not being able to bring somebody else in. And I guess that's where I'm at, but... I understand. With what the Jazz are doing this year.
I guess that's the part where we also fundamentally disagree with is you believe that there was no move that could be made. But somehow the Milwaukee Bucks, who had no moves to be made, somehow landed Dame Lillard. Now, I don't know if that was the right move for them, but they somehow were able to land. That's what I'm saying. It's like, right. We just throw our hands up that there was no move to be made. Now, that obviously I'm saying that Rudy and Donovan were the cornerstones, which I don't even know. Uh-huh. I can't believe I'm saying that out loud.
I mean, yeah, there was no move to be made for Dennis Lindsay. That's why he got fired, though. Yeah, so well, maybe somebody else besides him doing that job makes some moves. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not saying I know the scenarios either. I'm just saying that I think that those guys get paid to figure that out. Mm-hmm. So, and we'll never know.
I guess for me, Milwaukee, right? Like the Jazz, it's like playing poker for me. Like, you know, I can play poker, and if I get like Queen Jack suited or something, that's a strong hand. I would play that hand, but if someone like really is really aggressive in betting, I'm looking at the board, I'm looking at my hand. At some point, I have to say, you know, it's not worth it. And because you can go.
What do
all
you mean
the
by the board when you say poker?
Texas Hold'em. I mean, this is a.
He doesn't believe that his hand is good enough. That he's got a good hand, but he doesn't believe the Jazz that everyone else was that much better than the Jazz that it was not going to matter.
Right. Because I don't know if I'm. And the thing is that I could play my hand weak strong whatever it is, all the way to the end. Because I might have the best hand, you know. You know that's the beauty of poker. You don't know what everybody else has. You're taking guesses, and you're just making plays mostly on percentages. Like this hand wins 20% of the time. This hand, starting hand is a 55% chance to win, but things change. You know, you the cards flop out. You know, you get different cards, and the percentages change. And at some point, you have to decide. Okay, I'm gonna pull the cord on this. Because if I go all the way and lose, and that's what I'm afraid of. If the Jazz didn't make that trade with Donovan and Rudy, that they could have gone, and they could have made, made plays. They could have had a team that maybe made the conference finals, maybe the finals,
or maybe they could have. They're having this debate again in Cleveland that Donovan should be the point guard, because Darius Garland's been hurt, right. So. So now I'm like, I mean, it's all back. It's funny how the same narratives crop up around Donovan. Right.
But more to the point is that, you know, I think that Jazz team could have been fine. They could have been, you know, they've probably been in the playoffs. The problem is that if that team, you know, in 2 or 3 years didn't win the championship, all of a sudden you have Donovan and Rudy on a team that just keeps missing the playoffs. So second round exit. Then you might have that Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, Clippers team. You might have that Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook Thunder team. And it's just hard to get back to getting those guys, getting that team back to, you know, like if you fail, then all of a sudden you start over with less chips. You know, the Jazz started over with a bunch of chips. And if that Rudy and Donovan team failed, it's hard for me to like. Well, they would have only their own draft picks. You know, they probably wouldn't have gotten as good returns if they traded Rudy and Donovan. If they traded them at all, Donovan. I mean, the cloud of Donovan going to New York is still there. You know, it was there from the first day they traded him to Cleveland, and we'll find out in about a year if that's going to happen or not. So. Yeah, that, you know, like if he does.
But instead of playing poker, we're not going to play poker. We're playing Keno with a 3-day-old pancake in a fucking CDS hotel. We're not even getting to play poker. But it's you know, only the Jazz draft picks may have been enough. I don't know if we just used our own picks correctly, maybe. We would have got it right. They would have had a draft pick this last year, so.
Yeah, if they didn't keep throwing him away to trade players.
I do have to concede that Rudy's value is probably never higher. I don't think he'll ever recapture that haul for him. So yep. I get that, which is probably the biggest gamble. I'm not sure that you still can't get Donovan-esque package even today or a year from now because he is worth what he's worth. You know,
so. I mean the problem for me with Donovan is that the New York just hanging over him.
I get that, but as a Jazz fan, you can't assume that anyone's ever going to stay here. But what I'm saying is, like, can you take advantage of it and just force him to play for the last 2 years? Plus, how many more years till he goes to New York? Is it this year, next year, or what is his?
Alma's reaching for his phone. He's looked that up. I think it's probably
they've got 1 year left.
Yeah, probably next season
before he opts out. The opt out is next year.
So it's only 3 years of Donovan then?
Yeah, it was only 3 years. It was a four-year deal with an opt out.
Yeah, the player option was fourth year.
Yeah, player option for the 25-26 season.
So, yeah, so 23-24, so 24-25, yeah. So, yeah, so I mean that's, you know, there's a we're just going back in time and to talk about things that we wish we could have done differently, or I don't mind what the Jazz have done, obviously, because I think a rebuild happens almost regardless. you got to rebuild at some point. And just this is how the Jazz are doing it. They're speeding it up. We've heard that plenty of times. So
I guess that's true. I guess that's kind of why I settled too. If you end up having to rebuild, you paint this doomsday scenario that they would be in purgatory 2 years from now. It's like we're not kind of hanging out there now, I guess. Mm.
So yeah, but yeah, I guess
always give it a shot.
Yeah, I guess my thought is that if you're going to be in purgatory, at least you have the chips now, as opposed to being purgatory with less chips, I guess. So, but
or no chips because you've been trying to spend all the ones that you have coming right, to you
that's the
make the Rudy and Donovan thing work.
And we'll start seeing it with.
Well, who's been harping for years? We need someone with a different opinion. Now, I'm here for you, fuckers.
No.
Whether I'm right or wrong, I'm not going.
And we'll see. Like, I mean, this is sort of what the Clippers did. Sort of what the Bucks have done. We're seeing teams like the Bucks. Their chips are all in the center, right? At some point, once they lose Giannis, you know they won't
disgruntled
have.
Giannis. Yeah, Jazz trading for him.
The Clippers. Those guys. They have three really old stars. Eventually, that's going to fall off, right? You know, injuries and age are going to hurt that team, and they're out of chips, right? So, we're going to see some of these teams. I mean, the Warriors have been holding on to basically their own chips forever. And Clay's.
Yeah, I'll give you the Clippers. But when you just rattle off two teams that got championships and a dynasty in their history, it's hard to.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They made the moves to go all in. At some point, that will circle around, right? My other theory is that what happens when Steph leaves Golden State Warriors? Like, I was like, the Warriors are a brand name now, but they've never been a brand name before. I have a friend who thinks it's the move to San Francisco will keep them as a brand name, and I don't know, maybe that is, like, we talk about TV markets being a big thing in the NBA, but I mean, I remember Mitch Richmond, Chris Webber, all these, even the We Believe Warriors weren't that popular. So
when the biggest story was Latrell Sprewell coach choking out PJ Carlisle, or one time the Warriors were on ESPN.
And
there was a slight debate that people forget about too. That they were trying to decide between they roll with Steph Curry or Monta Ellis. So
yeah,
thank God they got that one right.
Alma, we are 71 days away from Vegas craziness for the Honey Dragon. How are you doing over there, Dragon Squatch? We're 71 a days from Vegas craziness. How are you holding up?
I'm doing okay.
Did you say 71?
71.
Is that the actual count?
I believe so. Okay. I mean, that's what Google told me, at least. I said, how many days until?
I mean, normally I'm fine, but as a known hater, it has been a bit of a rough day on Twitter seeing Rudy. It's been a good day for Rudy, and it's hard for someone to shit on someone having a child, so I can't shit on Rudy today.
Wait, also, Rudy had a child?
Having
he's,
a child.
Yeah, he's giving birth to, yes. He's impregnated Rollo Meadow.
Yeah, we found out that he has a lady.
Yeah,
impregnated lady.
We found out
lady,
he actually has a lady, and so he's had a secret a ring. Lady for a
and
long time.
And there's a ring.
Yeah, he's hard launched his relationship. So.
And I mean, what the fuck?
Exactly. That's what we all said.
That's the most French thing of all time. They keep that shit so close to the chest. What the fuck?
Freedom fries.
That's hilarious.
And I actually came across a tweet too. I forgot who said it, but they were just like, "Oh, he wasn't talking about his game." Rudy Gobert went ahead and said that when he shot his first or when he made his first three, he was like, "Oh, it's like I lost my virginity." And then they paired the picture with him palming that woman's belly.
Yeah, so,
and I was like, "Oh, maybe."
Jesus Christ! What the fuck? Yeah,
so bad day on online for Logan as him.
Yeah, I had to come on here and argue with you assholes, and then I had to see happy birthday wishes to Tony Jones all fucking day. So it's been a real shitty time.
I am working on my speech for the Honey Dragon wedding, so I'm it's going my Elvis Presley impersonation is rough. So
wait, you're making a speech? I thought you were
he's marrying
him. Right, I know, but he's called it a speech, so I was like, I thought you were performing the ceremony.
Speech. Like, speech.
I mean, I guess is performing a ceremony different than like giving a speech about the bride and groom? Like, am I overstepping my balance here?
I guess it depends on what you mean by speech.
Because like, I mean, like, if you're going to be marrying them,
speech
like,
is all part of the ceremony, then yeah, that makes sense. I mean,
yeah. Or if there's like an after party and you're like, ting, ting, ting. All right, I need to say some more. Yeah,
they invited the they invited the priest over. I'm getting baptized in a month so I can be an official priest. So,
ooh,
is there an easier way to do this? So,
I'm not getting baptized. Wait.
Whichever
he might not make it back up above the water.
He's getting a golden shower and he's calling it a baptism.
Whoa.
whichever
damn,
church.
Who? That's fucking gross.
Whichever church.
I can't believe you would do something so disgusting.
He ordered
a golden shower and one of those priest things all online.
Yeah. At Trump Tower?
He did use a Groupon on it, so it wasn't.
It's Vegas. That's how we do in Vegas. Like, I'm like,
they accept Groupon in Vegas?
Yeah. Is that the grossest thing that can happen to a person?
So. Getting peed on? No. Go Google Odell Beckham and what he's going to do. I've seen him a step horse.
Oh, Jesus.
There's a video I remember seeing a while back.
Why are you showing me this? Why are you filming my reaction?
I'm just saying, every time I hear, you know, most people when they hear Odell Beckham, they think of that catch. When I hear Odell Beckham, I think of something completely different.
Jesus Christ, Logan.
Might have caught something.
The dog was definitely into that. The dog was howling through that.
Dogs and Odell Beckham they both love shit.
Logan.
A whole new meaning when he says, I got that dog in me.
He's got a Cleveland steamer for Donovan.
Both of them
just snout deep in someone else's shit.
Anybody we need to put in Marnay's produce corner this week, Logan?
my mom stopped listening. I can't think of anybody else on Twitter presence has been lacking.
Right.
But that's just there's no jazz, and there's no good jazz.
So, I figured you'd be part of Golden Knights Twitter by now. Your real team.
I'm part of Golden. I'm part of Golden Shower.
They actually
Twitter.
Win games.
Unless
I show up to a game, then they don't.
Let's shout out the host of the new Jazz Pod Co-op podcast. Jackpotting around. The Utah Jazz podcast. That's at Art Takes Note. Art Takes Note. That account there. I asked on Twitter, like, hey, what are some things that you wish the Jazz could? And this is pretty easy. And you know, obviously, look, if the Jazz had drafted McDaniels or Desmond Bane, things would be a lot different. And they didn't, obviously. So those are two big ones.
What if Matt Saracen threw a touchdown in the championship game, though?
Huh?
Nothing.
Oh.
It was what the roommate was watching. He's watching the season finale of this show called again?
What a fun
Friday season. Night Lights. Friday Night Lights.
At Jazz Jargon said, awfully drafting Bane. But he also said, don't sign favors to that mid-level exception. So that would.
$9 million each year for 3 years. That was kind of a lot. It was like 18 million. I can't remember. It was bad.
Well,
the
mid-level was about nine a year or so. Exactly this. Use the MLB on someone like Crowder, not favors. That's a couple of years.
I don't think that would have worked because Jay Crowder was already pissed at the team for trading him. So.
I don't know.
I think he was making more money than that back then, too.
I don't remember. But at DJ ME2WRCHSLC. Is this not a bot? My God.
What does that stand for?
Yeah.
Sounds like a bot.
I'm not a bot. Elon. I'm a human.
I'm not a bot. I love Elon Musk.
All right. So that's those are the Marnie. Yeah, Marnie stopped listening a long time. As soon as Marnie heard Golden Shower, she was out. So.
Nude in bio.
She's got no idea what
Golden Shower is. Yeah, I was going to say that's the other thing. So, All right, well, folks, 71 days before we have some madness in Vegas for the Honey Dragons. Alma, where can they follow you on the Twitter, and where can they read and listen to your work?
So you can follow me at the Twitterverse at AlmaBean23. Going to be pretty active, and especially tomorrow. We got 2000s night tomorrow with the Jazz taking on the Charlotte Hornets. You already got Darren Williams, Carlos Boozer, Andre Kirilenko, Mehmet Okur.
Memo.
All of them are coming in early, and they're doing a season ticket holders only event before the game. So I will be tracking that before the game.
If Dragon
Squatch, you're going to track the season ticket holders event? Is that
if Dragon Squatch flew in, would you take him to the event with you?
Yeah,
Dragon Squash, you Logan.
He's gonna have to drive.
I do get an. I do get a plus one. I just have to notify them like now.
When is this again?
Five p.m. tomorrow.
At 5 p.m. Oh, I can't do 5 p.m. I'm gonna be up at the mountain tomorrow.
Driving the bus.
And he also didn't invite you either, though, so don't worry about it.
You also have to have a ticket to the game
shut
as
up.
Well.
Logan, I'm gonna kill you. Oh, I actually do have a ticket to the game. Thank you very much. So fuck you.
But yeah, so I'll be doing that. But I'll also be doing some more coverage through the Hive Sports. You can read my articles there.
I think Logan has talked about like the 2000s team being like his favorite Jazz iteration. So.
And I will say I will be hunting to get that AK-47 signature tomorrow. That's number one goal.
That is not what.
Logan would Logan would tell you to fuck off and get him a memo signature.
Listen,
your ass.
So
I've softened on AK. He looked like young Jerry Sloan today, and it changed my whole film.
Young Jerry Sloan.
I'm telling you, go watch that clip of him with the glasses.
You know, he kind of does sort of look like Jerry a little bit, like a tall Jerry. Oh my God, that's funny.
I will say I was on the hunt for a memo jersey so I could try and get that signed, but the person that I thought would have it was like, I'm actually going to the event tomorrow also to get that jersey signed, and then I'm going to sell it. And I was like, aw, okay.
Oh, that's kind of lame.
Yeah, I was like,
go to get it signed so they can sell it. I got a favorite jersey. Is favorite going to be there?
No, it's just those four.
Just those four. 2000s.
To be honest,
it's the 2000s.
To be honest, there is a 2010s night.
Follow up, so.
What was that?
I do have two quick follow-ups because they're doing these.
I didn't even get to see the best seasons from that team. I was overseas. Yeah. So fuck all of you.
But they are doing a 2010s era also for decades night. Right. So you might see a Derek Favors there.
So
I was gonna say, when do we get the Tyrone Corbin era?
I think they're trying to bury that as far below the Delta Center as they can.
Because Tyrone Corbin era is the end of the 2000s, right? So 09, I guess 10, 11, 12.
Yeah.
It's the beginning of that.
Did they already do the Stockton and Malone one? I just missed.
They
did,
but it was Hornacek.
It was a while ago.
It was Hornacek, but Jeff Malone.
It was everybody but Stockton and Malone.
But those were tagging
everybody but them. Like four of them, five of them, but.
Ostertag and Brian Russell were there.
The two big snubs realize that they're too big a pieces of shit, and they're going to get scrutiny if they come out of their caves. So.
But no Jazz fans didn't boo any Widows at that game.
The Jazz fans were not booing Widows. So
nope. There was actually a
Utah 1, Chicago 2.
Very very small standing ovation for Mrs. Sloan.
Yeah. So very small standing ovation. Bobby Sloan.
So, it was you and one other person, Alma? Very small.
I think it was, like, pretty much my entire section that's, like, only season ticket holders that did it.
So, so Logan, what would you get signed? Out of those four, what would you bring together? So, Alma said a Mehmet Okur jersey.
I will be bringing cards. Yeah, so, I'll get those all signed, too.
What do you have that you would want to get signed?
Oh, God. I don't think I own anything from that era, to be honest anymore. Right. I think it's all been exercise.
I have probably like eight Darren Williams jerseys.
My friend did give me a giant. It's similar to the powder blue they wore. It's a dildo. I'd probably try to get Carlos Boozer to sign the head of that thing.
That'd be amazing.
That thing would sell on eBay so fast. Jared, do you have anything?
Yeah.
I guess
make sure that you have my booze on the side.
Yeah,
you dig him down, Darren.
Yep, dig him down, Darren. You said you're
and then on the tip, he signs it. Yeah,
I don't have any Boozer or Memo jerseys. I do have some AK jerseys. I have like Darren Williams. I have like eight Darren Williams jerseys.
I mean, shoot, if you want me to take one of those,
they're oh man.
I would have to go to making that drive.
I would have to go to Clinton and get him.
I mean, that's up to you. You know what time I'll be here.
I do know what time you'll be here. you know, I'll think about it. Because like the other thing I would think is like maybe just getting a basketball, and having.
They won't allow it. They won't allow the basketball.
Those bastards.
That's an NBA rule, not a Delta Center rule.
Really?
Yep.
Interesting.
Same with signs.
Basketballs can be sold, huh? So, all right. Well, good to know. We got when you're listening to this, it'll probably be Arrow's Night or after Arrow's Night. We don't have people listening to this anymore.
Arrow's Night. Where are you, Taylor Swift?
They're listening to Jackpotting now. So,
well, according to the newscast today, the tape payers.
So, all right, folks. For Dragon Squatch 4, go. This is 49.4, Alba Bean 23. We'll see you guys next time. That was Jared Barker.
That's me mimicking Shaq.
We've
been trying to get Jared to do something racist on this podcast for a while.
Hey.
Now we got it.
Hey.